Have you ever thought about how Paul felt about the lost world around him? When Paul says, "Be ye imitators of me as I imitate Christ." Paul does not say you look at my life and see every sin that I've ever committed and that gives you right to commit sin. But he says, you look at my life and in my life you'll see the life of Christ. Imitate me or be followers of me as I am a follower of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. And that's really why in this lesson today, we want to look at Paul as he lived just like we did on this earth as a Christian and say, here's where he was in relationship to the lost world. Now, it's a mirror image of where Jesus was. Jesus says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's exactly why Paul lived. You see, Paul begins as the persecutor of the church. When we first read about him, he's an enemy of God, an enemy of Christ, and he's doing all that he can to persecute Christianity. But from being the persecutor, he becomes the one who is persecuted. And you and I need to understand that the fact that others may not like what we're trying to do in our lives and trying to tell them about the Lord, they didn't like what Paul did, and they didn't like what Jesus did. And the fact that it might make somebody uncomfortable for me to talk to them about their soul is not an excuse for me not to be evangelistic. Now look at the list of adversities that Paul endured. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that was already read to us. We're not going to look at this in detail. But think of all that happened in Paul's life. And mark that this is early in the life of Paul. This is not at the end of the life of Paul. He can look back and he say, well, this is what happened to me. Oh no. Paul, in the book of Acts, after he writes this letter, there's far more that he endures. And so whenever we think about serving the Lord, is there any sacrifice that's too demanding for us to be a Christian? Is there anything that I should not be willing to do because the Lord wants me to do it? Here I am as a child of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and as a child of God, I have an obligation to mirror in my life what Jesus had in His life, and that is to love that lost world that was there. I want us to look at one day in the life of Paul. Have you ever had one of those days that just started out in a marvelous way? And by the end of the days, you probably never had a worse day in your life. That's where Paul is in Acts chapter 19. It may not all have happened in that one day. But you see the great impact that Paul has whenever he preaches there in Ephesus. And there is the idolatry that's there. And the Bible tells of how the impact of his preaching was such that they brought all of their pagan books, or those who were trying to serve the Lord, and built a big bonfire. And they burned up all of these pagan books. The worth of them was 50,000 pieces of silver. Can life get any better than to see the impact of Christianity in the life of others? You know that joy, do you not? Have you not in your life reached out and tried to touch the life of somebody else and all of a sudden they were responsive to what you said? Oh, absolutely. And if you haven't had that joy, then you need to have that joy. And so here's Paul, perhaps at the height of exhilaration about the impact of the gospel. But by the end of that day, there is a riot that comes about in that city. And so as you read about that, and that's in Acts chapter 20, there are those individuals that are there who are ready to destroy Paul in every way that they can. And so there's a riot in the city. Verse 29 says, the city was filled with confusion. And they've been shouting out for hours, great is this pagan god called Diana. And Paul sees his friends, Gaius and Aristarchus, these Macedonians who were Paul's travel companions. And they seize them, and Paul is ready to rush into that arena to save them. And you look in verse 30, Paul wanted to go in to the people, but the disciples would not allow him. The Greek here is so unbelievably expressive. It's in that imperfect tense of Paul. It's not just Paul says, well, I think I'd like to go in there. But the Greek says, I want to go in there. And they said, Paul, you don't want to go. Paul says, I want to go in there. And they said, Paul, you cannot go. Paul said, I'm going to go in there. And they said, no, Paul, you cannot go. I want to go in there. And Paul says, and they say, Paul, you cannot go into that place. You see, the world is lost. And Paul was willing to give up his very life in order that the gospel might reach to others. In fact, in the next chapter in the book of Acts, you see Paul's farewell speech. And he talks about how he was there in Ephesus and spent all of that time that was there. In 3 years, he labored night and day. And he did all that he could to try to save everybody that was there in that city. And now, as he's headed to Jerusalem, there are these New Testament prophets that are standing up and say, Paul, when you get to Jerusalem, there you are going to be bound, you're going to be arrested. There's adversity that you're going to confront when you're there. But Paul says, look, I'm not, before I'm ever bound with chains in that city, I am bound in my soul. I'm bound in my spirit to go to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that await me, except in every city that I'm going, the Holy Spirit is saying to me that chains and tribulations await me. Now watch it. Paul says, none of these things moved me. Folks, the world is lost. And Paul in his life saw that lost world that was there. And he said, I've got to do something to save this lost world. But Paul, don't you know that chains and tribulation and imprisonments await you? He said, that binding may await me, but bound even more than that is my soul. And it's tied up and bound so that I have no choice but to do this. And I want to suggest to you three of those anchors that were a part of Paul's life. Look in Romans chapter 1 and look at the three anchors that were there in Romans chapter 1. There is in verse 14 an anchor that is described as, in the slides, as a burden of debt. In chapter 1 he says, verse 14, I am debtor to the Jews and to the barbarians. You and I need to understand that one of the things that was a part of the very soul of Paul that was bound up in his heart was, I owe the gospel to every person I meet on this earth. You and I need to hear Paul again as he said, you imitate me like I imitated Christ. You want to look in the life of Jesus and see how Jesus dealt with everybody and saw every person as somebody that needs to be saved. Paul said, look at my life, and there's not one Jew on this earth, there's not one Gentile on this earth that I do not owe that individual a debt. You stop and think about ourselves and think of how easy it is in our own hearts sometimes to live never, even though we meet new people, even though we see different individuals, even though conversations are given to us with people that we've never met before, how many times has it been in our life that we've met these individuals and we've just sort of ignored them and never ever thought about their soul? Oh, I'm not talking about taking the Bible and ramming it down their throat and jabbing it in with your other hand to try to choke them on the gospel, but I'm also not talking about the fact that because we think, well, they may not be interested, we have a right never, ever, ever to see their souls and never to do something about the salvation of their souls. I am debtor. Brother and sister in Christ here at Palm Beach Lakes, young and old, when Christ saved you, He paid a debt that you could not pay. And all He asks of us is for us to be the avenue by which the whole world, at least that part of the world in which we live, hears the gospel. Look at the second debt that Paul felt, and that was a readiness to seize every opportunity. Look again at this passage. This time, look in verse 15. So, as much as in me is, I'm ready. You want to anchor your life and make it worthwhile for God? I have a debt. And as much as is in me, God knowing my inabilities, God knowing my inadequacies, God knowing my fear, as much as is in me, I'm ready. And so he's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to be arrested there. The only way he'll ever get to Rome is by going there in chains. But he was planning to go to Rome, and he says, I'm ready. He wanted to go there as a free man, but when he went there as a bond servant, when he went there as a prisoner, when he got there, he did the very same thing he would have done had he been there as a free man, and that is, I'm ready. Is that your heart? I'm debtor. And as much as is in me, I'm ready. And the third anchor was a boldness to overcome fear. In verse 16 he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's God's power to save everybody on this earth, everyone that believes, Jew and Gentile, for in it is the answer to eternal life. The righteous lives by faith. Now we've mentioned the lectureship. We've mentioned the fact that this lectureship is going to be evangelistic in nature. And I want us to say, let David come and spend, you know, as much time as he needs to talk about how do we get ready for this lectureship. David, come and tell us how we can get ready.
We've been planning this lectureship for nearly a year already, and we're excited that it's almost here. And after you leave this morning, I want you to be excited about it as well, because it provides us with so many opportunities. Dan has already talked about the prospectus of this lectureship. Our mentality has always been, and the elders taking the lead on this, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, Paul told a group of elders there, before he finished his conversation with them, he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. We have a lectureship so that we can be built up upon the Word of God. And so for 16 years, every November, we've had an opportunity to dive into the Word of God and to allow it to build us up. That's what the word edification means, to build us up. And almost every year, the intent and the purpose of the lectureship is to build us up as Christians. It's not that we don't invite our non-Christian friends to be here. We want them here as well. It's always open and welcome for them. But usually the purpose is focused on encouraging us as Christians. But this year it has that dual purpose. Not only is it going to help us, but the intent of this lectureship is not just evangelistic in mind. It's evangelistic. It's not just edifying, it's evangelistic. Does your home need to be built up and encouraged? Does your family need to be built up and encouraged? Do you think there's anybody out in the world who needs their home built up and encouraged? Kevin talked this morning about the new experience that he and Stephanie are having in being parents. You suppose there's any other parents out in the world who could use some encouragement and some guidance, not from Dr. Phil or from Dr. Laura or from some other doctor, but from Dr. Paul and from Dr. Peter and from Dr. Jesus? Isn't that the kind of guidance we need for our homes today? Not what some philosopher is going to say, but from what the King has to say. And hopefully by this time everybody has received one of the schedules for this year. And as you look at these topics, I want you to see how everyday practical these topics are. All 16 of them for adults, the 4 for teens, the 4 for preteens, are designed not to be something that just can sound good and maybe there's something there for me, but are to give you 7 tools that you can tuck away and take home with you when you leave. That's the whole purpose of this lectureship. For just a moment, I want you to look at the program. I want you to look at the overall scope because there are some changes this year. If you've been here before, we have always started on Friday night. This year, we are starting on Thursday night. We've backed it up. We've added one keynote lesson on Thursday night. And then we will continue as usual on Friday. But instead of having our midweek service on Wednesday night, we're moving our midweek service to Thursday night that week. So there is no service on Wednesday the 2nd. We're going to have our midweek service on Thursday night, starting our lectureship with Glenn Colley, talking about the 7 tools that every home needs to survive. As you look at that schedule, you'll see that on Saturday, we've also made another change. We've backed up the schedule. We start an hour earlier on Saturday afternoon. Instead of starting at 3, we start at 2 o'clock. Purpose of that is so that after we eat that corn roast, we can go home and take a nap. It's embarrassing when our speakers are speaking to a lot of full, tired people after our corn roast. So we're going to start at 2 o'clock. Get all of our lectureship in. We've moved the corn roast to 5:30 so you can stuff yourself silly and then go home and enjoy the evening with a full belly. And so there's 2 changes in the schedule. We're starting on Thursday and we're ending with the corn roast on Saturday. And then we have our regular Sunday morning sessions to round out the program itself. And I hope as you look at this lineup of speakers, some of them may not be familiar to you, but I want you to know how much experience is being brought to the table with these speakers. Over 200 years of preaching experience, but not just general preaching experience. Many of these men conduct seminars, conduct weekends that are specifically designed for the family. And so these are people who have studied this, who have researched this, who understand what the family needs in our society. Many of these names, while perhaps not close to you and known to you, folks like Bill Weaver, he's been here before. Glenn Colley, he's been here before. Eric Owens, who preaches up in Atlanta, he's been here before. Many of these, hopefully, as you look at the topics and then look at the speakers, you will begin to see how rich this time is going to be, not just for us as Christians, but do you know anybody, as you look down those topics on that schedule, do you know anybody who could use those? Do you have any friends who could use those? Should we talk about our singing during the lectureship? I don't know why it is, but the best singing we have all year is during our lectureship. And I know that may be biased in a lot of ways, but tough it is. It's true. We have some outstanding singing, and no doubt Gary Friedley is a great part of that. And so you look at these sessions, you look at the speakers, you look at the singing, you look at your schedule and how it's color-coded. That's not just to make it more appealing and give you a warm fuzzy. But as you look at the color coding, there's a purpose to all of it. And obviously, we have our keynote sessions that are all designated by the same color. But as you look through there, there are tracts or series of lessons. And it's not that you have to follow one all the way through. But if you know somebody who needs some parenting skills sharpened, here's 4 lessons that they can go to on parenting all throughout the weekend. 4 lessons on marriage all throughout the weekend. Well, you say, well, I want to invite some folks, but you know, they may be too old. They may not need the parenting lessons anymore. They may be single. They may be a single mom. They don't need the marriage stuff. There's something here for everyone. The series on the home that will be here in the auditorium during those breakout sessions has something for everyone. You need to be here for this. You need to be able to think about others that you can bring and to have here as a part of this weekend. We'll talk about the procedure of the lectureship for just a minute. A little bit different than what we've done in previous years. For 10 years, we stopped last year, but for a period of 10 years, from 2000 to 2009, we asked the speakers to submit manuscripts for their lessons, and we published a lectureship book, and that was beneficial in a lot of ways. Last year, we asked the speakers to submit outlines, in which we printed their outlines in a book, and that was beneficial in many ways. This year, what we're going to do is for every person who comes to the lectureship, when they come in and register at the front tables, they're going to receive a binder. And inside this binder, once they come in, it's going to have a lot of information already in the binder. It's going to have some instructions about the purpose of the binder itself, but it's going to have the full schedule of the lectureship in there. It's going to have the introduction to the speakers in there. It's going to have the CD and DVD order form in there. Everything they need for the lectureship is going to be inside their binder. They'll be able to map out the lessons that they want to go to. There'll be a map of the facility so that somebody who hasn't been here will know where the family room is, where adult one is, where grade three is for their children. But also inside of the binder, there are going to be some note-taking cards. And those are all color-coded that will match the colors of the lectureship schedule. And so there will be four cards in there for taking notes on the keynote sessions. And so those will match in color, and it has seven blanks. All of the lessons are going to have 7 points. You can count on that. We've asked the speakers, and you see the topics. They're all 7 points, so there's going to be a note-taking card for every keynote session. It'll be in your binder. All you got to do is sit there and write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and take notes. It's ready-made. The auditorium sessions, they'll already be in. It doesn't mean you have to go to the auditorium sessions, but the orange cards for the auditorium session will already be in the binder. So if somebody chooses to stay in the auditorium, it's ready-made. This one on seven steps to recovering from crises in the home with Dan Winkler, they can start taking notes with that. If someone decides to go to the family room, to the series on marriage, and once they get to the family room, when they walk in, they'll have a yellow card that's for that session where they can take the 7 points down. If they go to adult one and two for the parenting sessions, for each session, there'll be that green color-coded card where they can take notes on that. Same thing for the teen sessions. I know this will bogger their minds. Same thing for the teen sessions. If they want to take notes, or a blank side for doodling, they'll have it for each one of the sessions, as well as for the preteen sessions. There'll be their purple card as well. All of these designed to be so that when they come together, their binder is full of the cards. When they go to these other sessions, they'll have all of the cards that they need so that when they walk out, when they leave the lectureship on Sunday, they've got a toolbox full of heaven's tools for building and improving our homes. That's the whole purpose of this lectureship. Not to listen to some guys who have some ideas and maybe I'll get something out of this, but to come together in a mindset that says, I want my home to be better. I'm going to fill this up with information to make it better, and I'm going to take home and use these tools to improve my home. So there's all the other colors as well. I was going to tell you about the bonus, but I'm not. Just know that on Sunday, there's going to be a stay to the end bonus. You'll just have to wait until Sunday to figure out what that is. Thought about sharing it with you, but I thought that's not much of a bonus if you already know what it is. So you just have to be, if you're not here, you miss out. And I'm telling you, you'll miss out. And I'll just give you a hint, it's color-coded too, all right? So just, that's all I'm telling you, but you've got to be here for the stay to the end bonus. And you need your friends to be here. If they miss out on the bonus, their toolbox will not be quite as full as it could be. We've talked about the prospectus and the program and the procedure. What about the promotion of this lectureship? There have already been several things that we have done up to today. On the house-to-house, heart-to-heart issue, the last one that we just sent out, the last one that you just labeled on the back of the one that went out to 8,000 homes around our building. They've already seen information about our lectureship. It's already pointed them to our website. I don't know if you've been to our website to see that the full schedule for our lectureship is on our website. We've already been sending out invitations to the local congregations. They already know about it. We've got congregations already planning to be here. But as we've said, the purpose of this lectureship is not just edification for us. The purpose of this lectureship is evangelism. To reach out to those who are outside of Christ. To present them an opportunity. Not just that they would want, but an opportunity that our homes and our nation need today. Are there any homes that don't need improvement? That's what this is. It's a home improvement workshop. So when you came in to the lobby this morning, out in the lobby was a table, and hopefully you've picked up, members, there should have been on the table a little package that had your name on it. If you haven't checked it out yet, be sure to check it out. Inside that particular package, there are two folders. We have done everything that we can in promoting this as a congregation, as an office, as a church. We've promoted as widely as we can to this point. Everything to this point for the rest of this month is up to you. The schedule that was passed out to you just a few minutes ago, that schedule brochure, there's more of them out in the lobby. There's more of them in my office. We need to start passing those out to anybody and everybody we think would come. But the two folders that you got when you came in are not for just anybody or everybody. I want you right now to think of two people, two homes, two families, two marriages, two parents. I want you to think of two people you know right now that you want to be here. We're not asking you to invite everybody you know, although you can do that with those brochures. Two specialized invitations. That's what these folders are for. When you take these folders out in the lobby when you leave this morning, there are going to be all sorts of goodies that you can put in to those folders to offer as part of the invitation to come to our lectureship. There are two tracks out there on marriage. If you're trying to invite a married couple to come, there are two tables, one to the right, one to the left. They all have the same stuff, so you can go to either side. There's two tracks out there on marriage. You want to invite somebody who needs work on their marriage, or maybe they just, maybe they don't have marriage problems, but who doesn't need help? Two tracks on marriage. Just grab one of each. Don't grab more than that. We don't have extras of these. There's just enough to fit in each binder. Grab a couple of those and slide them into your binder to give to the two people you want to invite. Are there some parents that you're wanting to invite? Out in the lobby are two tracks on parenting. You can take, you can pick one, you can pick both. Say, oh, I want those two. I'll slide those into your folder. Pick those up and say, I want them to be able to read those too. We are already equipping them. We're already giving them tools that they can use even before they come to the lectureship. If you need one that's just on the home in general, something that's going to fit everybody, any home, single parent, two parents, no kids, 14 kids, whatever, here's a track that applies to every home that you can meet. Pick one of these up, slide it inside there. There are schedules out there. There's one for each of these binders plus extras that you can take and pass out. When you get done, you can fill up this little folder to take and invite people to come to this lectureship. And then on the end of the table is a little card. You can take and write your, don't write my message, write your personal message. Say, I really want you to come. You take that card, you slide it into your folder, and this week or next week you go to them and say, there is something coming up at our church, and I really, really, really think that you're going to like it. Give them your little folder. that's full of all of your little goodies. Present it to them and ask them to come. Go back to them a few days later and say, "Did you have a chance to look at that? You want to come with me on Thursday night? You want to come with me on Friday night? Did you see those sessions on Saturday? And by the way, you don't want to miss our corn roast." This is going to be, I believe, our best lectureship ever. Because it reaches out, and folks, it touches each of us. There's not a one of us in here who doesn't need this. And there's not a family we know that doesn't need this. Let's use this as an opportunity to build and improve our homes, to reach out to our friends, do all that we can to build and improve their homes. From this day until November 3rd, it's up to you. Give out the brochures. Give out your two specialized invitations. There are a few extra of these folders. If you know three people that you want to give them to, there's a few extra folders. If you know four, that's the max. But there's only about 80 extra folders out there. If you want an extra one, pick up the extra folder. Give those out. And for the next month, give yourself to prayer. We can have a great program. We can have great procedures. We can have a great speaker. We can spend a lot of money in promotion. But if we don't ask God to bless this lectureship, it's all for naught. May God help us to take this opportunity to make a difference for the cause of Christ.
God help us. God help us
to make a difference. We talked about the debt that Paul felt. You want to live debt free? Listen to Paul in Acts chapter 20. This time, verse 26 and 27. "I testify to this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I've not shunned to tell you." The two names you thought of when David said, "Would you think of two people?" Make yourself innocent of their blood. It's not true, but the story is when Jesus got back to heaven, he told the angels everything that had happened while he'd been on this earth about his death and resurrection and how he had left behind on this earth the church. Those men, those apostles, and those who would be taught by them to tell the world that God is real and that He has revealed His will to mankind. And an angel said to him, "There may be a flaw in that plan. What if sometimes the situation develops so the church doesn't tell the lost world? What's your other plan?" And Jesus says, "I have no other plan." There's no other plan to reach the two names that you thought of. God help us. God help us. We now come to that part of our service where we talk about you can become a Christian. Christ paid a debt that you could not pay. But the response to the debt that he paid, his own blood, we reach it because we believe with all of our heart that he is the Son of God. And that's what he tells us we should do in John 3:16. But just believing he's the Son of God does not bring salvation. Even Satan himself believes Jesus is the Son of God. And so you must repent, change, make up your mind to follow him. Luke 13:3, Acts 17:30, and a host of other verses are verses that talk about God's plan of salvation for the lost world. When you've confessed your faith in Jesus, Romans 10:9, you then can be baptized into Christ. Christ in you, and now you in Christ, because you've been baptized into him. And he adds you to the church, and he says to all of us who have done that in the past, now you keep on being true to that faith that you confessed when you said, I believe he's the Son of God. Be full of that faith and let it be manifested in your life unto death. And I'll give you the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. How can we help you come to the Lord as together we stand and sing? Will you come?